Well, good morning. Once again, I stopped while we were singing to listen to all of you sing, and you sounded marvelous. You sounded like you meant what you were singing. Amen? I love to tell the story. Why? Because I know it's true. Because I know it's true. And He satisfies my longing like nothing else can do. And I just feel so strongly this morning that in this number of people in this service, that there could possibly be one that is hurting, that is not sure about the story. But I want to be perfectly clear this morning about the story. Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ came for you. Jesus Christ died for you. And Jesus Christ rose from the grave for you, that you might experience Him and His victory that He provided. I love to tell the story. And my prayer and my concern is that the story does not become routine. That we don't become just familiar with the story, and Easter is coming, and we plan activities, and we plan this, and we plan that, and absolutely I am in favor of all of that. But let's not forget why we are celebrating. We had the privilege of going in to see our granddaughter in Waynesboro at the Otterbein Church and their presentation, and it was awesome to see kids of all ages, 10 through teens, in their presentation, rejoicing in their risen Savior. And that's why we're here, amen? To rejoice in our risen Savior, and that the story does not become old. I heard it said, and if I've told you this before, forgive me, but I've heard it said that there was a pastor in a church, got up on Christmas Sunday after singing some Christmas carols, said, "There's nothing new I can tell you about the Christmas story that you don't know," and dismissed the service. God help us. We have a story to tell. We have a Jesus to experience. And what a beautiful time to experience Him during the Easter season. That's all extra for you this morning. That has nothing to do with my notes. But I just encourage you. I sense the presence of God in this place. And if you have a need this morning, you sang the song, "Come to Jesus," and that you would do that today. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Going to talk about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, talking about being at the center of the procession. Matthew chapter 21, begin reading at verse 1. "And as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey there, tied there, and her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, 'See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.' The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, just as Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Father, we just thank you so much for your word, for the written word. Thank you so much for the living word, Jesus Christ. And we just thank you, Lord, for this privilege of coming here to sit, anticipating, God, you to speak to us today. Encourage, challenge, convict. God, we ask the Holy Spirit to do all that. And we invite him into this place. And thank you for being here. And we give this service to you. We give sharing the word to you. Hide me behind the cross. Uplift and glorify Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray and give thanks. Amen and amen. Palm Sunday, we're finding as we enter into Holy Week, all that took place during this particular week in the life of Jesus Christ. He had to pass over a meal on Thursday. He was taken and arrested, crucified Friday, but he gloriously rose again on Sunday morning. But as you look at this week, this is a week that changed everything. This week changed everything. The culmination of Jesus' life, of his ministry, what he said, what he taught, the miracles he did, everything come to this point. And we find Jesus entering into Jerusalem and as he faced these final days of his life. And he knew the end was near, and the whole purpose of his coming was reaching its climax. But his entry into Jerusalem caused a diverse response. And we can see that as we read through this gospel, as we read through the other gospels, Mark, Luke, and John. And they recorded different responses. And as you look at the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus, Jesus did not always say things that sit well with some people. Amen? Jesus didn't always do things that sit well with people. Amen. And there were those who wanted to stone him. There were those who wanted to kill him. There were those who really got mad at Jesus. And so he kind of disrupted the status quo. And even sometimes today, you know, when you say things that we just repeat what Jesus said, some people become uncomfortable with it. Well, you're judgmental. You're being critical. No, I'm repeating just what Jesus has already said. But Jesus, as he came into Jerusalem, caused this diverse response. And as we read through the different gospels, we see that there's approximately 8 times where people really got upset with him. But this event was to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy given in Zechariah 9, verse 9, where it says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion, shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey." Jesus boldly was declaring himself as king and Messiah, and the people gladly joined in. He was declaring himself to be the Messiah. He even, in Luke chapter 4, after he had read, opened the scroll and read what the purpose of the Messiah would come and do, he rolled it back up, sat down, and said, "Today that is fulfilled in your ears, because I'm the guy they're talking about. I'm the one." And so we see here Jesus coming in. The crowd grew excited. They welcomed him joyfully and enthusiastically. They welcomed Jesus. They rejoiced. They waved the palm branches. The conquering hero. But did they fully understand what was about to happen in the following days? They sang and shouted his praises. You can read that in verse 9. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They sang his praises. And they were just celebrating the presence of Jesus Christ, the coming of Jesus. And as we are here gathered in church and churches all around, that we celebrate the coming of Jesus into our midst. And as some were celebrating, some were upset. And those that were upset were the Pharisees. They got irritated by what was happening. They were irritated because the people were shouting Hosanna to Jesus, celebrating Jesus. They even said back in the Gospel of John in chapter 12, look how the whole world is coming after him. I believe they felt threatened. They could possibly lose their prestige, their income. This man, they felt, was a threat to them. And so they got upset. And they even told him, well, they knew that they couldn't tell the crowd to be quiet. And so they went to Jesus and said, hey, tell your people to be quiet because what you're doing, what's happening, is blasphemy. Now, it's these same people who believed the scriptures, who taught the law, who taught about the coming Messiah, yet the Messiah was before them and they rejected him. It's like Jesus standing before Pilate, and in that conversation, Pilate says, what is truth? What is truth when the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life was standing before him? Sometimes Jesus is in the midst and we don't recognize him. We miss him. The disciples were in a dilemma. They were on a boat. They were in a storm. And the Bible says that Jesus came walking on the water toward them. And one gospel says that he would have kept on walking by, but they yelled out to him. And sometimes we have Christ in our midst. We don't recognize him, and we just let him pass by. We let opportunities pass by. Well, I'll do that next time. I'll go to the altar next time. I'll ask somebody to pray for me the next time. We're not guaranteed a next time. We have these moments. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. God has ordained opportunities and times and places for people. We cannot overlook them. We cannot cast them aside. We cannot grow cold to them. But these are the very ones who taught the law and kind of ignored the lawgiver. And it was appropriate for the crowd to express great joy over the coming conquering king. And it is certainly appropriate for us today to rejoice and celebrate the King of Kings. The King of Kings. Revelation talks about a time, and I believe it's chapter 19 or 20. I may be wrong on that. But we read where there are those in white singing hallelujah. Can you imagine that worship service? Can you imagine what that's going to be like when there's countless, untold thousands of people all in unity and in one accord worshiping Jesus Christ, the King of Kings? Can you imagine being a part of that? Can you see yourself there? Amen. Thanks, Brett. Absolutely. It's a time that we can look forward to of worshiping God there in that type of setting. But if we his followers, do not praise him, if we are silent, who will give him the praise and adoration he deserves? Sometimes we shrink back from saying anything. Sometimes we don't do anything because of what, well, I might offend Billy, I might offend Johnny. I don't know if there's any Billys or Johnnies here or not, but forgive me if you are. But we don't want to honor God because of what people might think or how they may react to us. But if the Spirit of God is in you and he wants you to raise your hand, raising hands is biblical. Amen? We all agree on that? And so, but I want to honor him. I want to give him the praise. I want to give him the glory. Does that mean I'm more spiritual than you? Absolutely not. We don't criticize those who do. We don't criticize those who don't. Your worship is between you and him, thanking him for what he's already done for you. He saved you. What more could anybody do for you than to give you a hope of eternal life? That's something to get happy about. Amen. You're catching on. I love that. But sadly, following his entry into the city, some attitudes changed. Some people got silent. Sometimes the enthusiasm kind of dwindled. Paul says in Romans 12, never lose your spiritual zeal. Never lose your spiritual fervency. And I know, and I can speak from personal experience, sometimes issues and circumstances will cause that spiritual fervor and zeal to shrink, grow cool. But then I have to realize, come to a point where, God, I don't understand this, but what I'm going through is not going to keep me silent. I will praise you no matter what you bring, no matter what I'm going through, because I have to trust you. And if I can't trust him, who in the world am I going to trust? I certainly can't trust Washington, D.C. Boy, that brought an amen. Oh, bless them anyway, amen. We got to pray for them. Are you praying for them? I didn't say that. This says it. Where was I? Okay. Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm was dwindling. And instead of continuing to rejoice and praise, some began to cry, crucify. What happened? What happens when someone praises God and then they turn and grow cold and walk away? Expectation. Their expectations weren't met. Some people thought and expected Jesus to come and set up an earthly kingdom to destroy the Jewish enemy, Rome, and set up an earthly kingdom. But that is not why Jesus Christ came, to set up an earthly kingdom. Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not an earthly kingdom. The kingdom of God is not an outward kingdom. It is an inward kingdom. And kingdom of, as Paul says, it is of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. A kingdom of righteousness. Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 6. We are to seek what? Seek righteousness. first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is my top priority, to seek that righteousness, that right standing with God, only available through Jesus Christ. Seek that relationship that I can have with God through Jesus Christ, and allow that relationship to grow. Allow that relationship to mature, to develop, and to gain more understanding, to gain more wisdom. Will I ever understand everything? No. I'm still trying to understand everything about Martha, and I never will. She said, "What are you going to say about me today?" I said, "I don't know." Bless her heart. She's over here shaking her head. Oh, well, pray for me. Righteousness, the righteousness of God. God's right, a right standing with him. You know, if you want to see a doctor or a lawyer, if you want to see anybody important, you got to do what? You got to make an appointment. I just had an appointment, a heart doctor appointment, canceled and rescheduled. I thought, what? But you know what? I don't have to make an appointment with God. I can talk to him anytime, any place. I can just call on his name. The Bible says, call on me and I will answer. What a blessed assurance that God's ears are open to the cry of the righteous, those that are in right standing with him, those that are seeking him. Of peace. Oh, the peace that passes understanding. And just let me remind you that peace is not the absence of trouble or problems, but in the problem. In the problem, there can just be that calmness, that stillness. There's a lot of stuff outside going on, but still, there is an inner peace that sometimes you cannot understand or people cannot understand. There is a peace, again, that passes all understanding because the Prince of Peace lives within you. Jesus said, my peace I give you, not as the world gives peace, but my peace I give you, the Prince of Peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord, not the joy of my possessions, not the joy of things, not the joy of stuff, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. Knowing that I will never face anything, any problem, any mountain, that he will not be right beside me. And as I look to him, that problem will grow smaller, and he will get bigger. In verse 9, the New Living Translation says, Jesus was in the center of the procession. He was the object. He was the focus of celebration. We see Jesus as the center figure of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see Jesus in the middle cross, the center cross, to a thief on each side, but he was in the center cross. We talk about him being the center of our lives. The Bible says that we are to give him preeminence in our lives, that he needs to be on the throne of our lives, the center of our lives, the center of our family. We talk about him being the center of our teaching, of our preaching, of our storytelling. Like I said, you all have a story. May not be all the same, and they're not going to be, but it all comes down to one common thread, and that's what Jesus Christ has done for you. That's the story you have to tell. The center of our preaching. And as I was reading about this passage, there was a thought that I had never really given or never really thought about much. And it goes back to the donkey that Jesus rode in on. And it says that the donkey is symbolic of humility. And Jesus did humble himself, took on the form of man, and became a servant. But it's a symbolic of peace and servanthood. But also, it is looked at in the Amplified Bible, a beast of burden. It is a beast of burden. Jesus, although coming as our conquering king, is our burden bearer. Jesus is our sin bearer. He bore our sins. The hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," says that, that my sin, not in part, but the whole, is what? Is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. He just didn't take one of our sins, one of your faults, one of your mistakes. He took it all of your sins, all of your iniquity, all your shortcomings, and they were nailed to the cross, and I bear the penalty of them no more, because I have been justified by faith through Jesus Christ. He is your burden bearer. We sang that last song, "Come Unto Jesus." Give him your burden. He is enough. Do we believe that? He is your burden bearer. He is your sin bearer. Jesus simply says in Matthew chapter 11, he says, if you're weary, if you're burdened, if you're stressed out about life, if you're carrying something around that is heavy, that is just causing you to crumble under the pressure of whatever it is, Jesus said, give it to me. He is more than enough. And you'll find liberty, you'll find freedom, you'll find peace, you'll find joy when we do that. So if this morning you're carrying something around needlessly, you know, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and sins to bear. Why do we carry around things that are so senseless when we have someone who says, just give them to me. Give them to me. I'll take care of it. I can handle it. Let me give you peace and joy and comfort and strength. He'll do that, but we have to come to him. And this morning, if you want to do that, I would be more than happy to meet you at this altar. Struggling with anything, I would be glad to meet you at this altar. Or others would gladly pray with you this morning at this altar. If he's speaking to your heart, you know it. How are you going to respond? Father, we just thank you so much this morning for your presence in this place. God, I'm reminded of what you told Moses at the burning bush. Take off your shoes, for where you're standing is holy ground. We are on holy ground this morning because of you, because you are a God that is so holy. And we can only be made holy through you. And so, Father, I'm just praying for one who may be struggling this morning, who may be carrying a burden or guilt or shame or anything around God today, that they come to Jesus because you are enough. And we thank you, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' wonderful name, and all of God's people said, amen and amen.